Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If any of the time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, feel free to contact us at the information, the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. A school of fish swam happily along in the river. The sun had warmed up the water for what promised to be a wonderful day. But then there was a kaplunk, the sound of something delicious falling into the water. They turned to look, and one certain fish saw it clearly. It was a worm. The fish started to remain with the others, but then the worm began to dangle. A fisherman above the water was working the bait in such an enticing and irresistible way. In time, the fish was worked to a fever pitch, and it struck the bait, unaware of the hook that was in it. The fisherman delighted in his tasty meal later that night. You know, this is always the mental picture I get when I read James 1, verses 13 through 15, except that I'm well aware that the context that James is dealing with is far more serious. It's about the devil's fine-tuned plan to lure you and I to spiritual death, eternal separation from the presence of God. Let's read those verses. James 1, beginning with verse 13. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Someone has said that these verses show a formula for spiritual death. And that formula is corrupted desires plus the right bait plus the wrong choice equals sin. And when sin is finished, there is death, that is, separation from God. This is how the devil works. You know, as we live our lives daily, we need to stay on the alert, realizing that the devil knows us all too well. He has watched us. He's learned, he's discovered the weak spots, the places where we are vulnerable. You know, really, isn't Judas's love of money a tragic illustration of all of this? Satan knew exactly what bait to dangle before Judas, and he knew when to dangle it. You can almost see Judas being worked up as he sees an adoring disciple pour nearly a year's worth of wages on the feet of Jesus. We read that in John 12, verse 2. Here's what Judas says. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? But then the writer of the book of John himself, made this statement in verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money bag, and he used to take what was put in it. See, there it was for Satan to see that weak spot. Now, all Satan had to do was wait for just the right moment. So you see how it works? You know, your Bible shows you four states, or let me put it this way. Your Bible shows you four of Satan's favorite times to drop the bait. One is right after a great success. You know, I'm told that mountain climbers say that the most dangerous part of mountain climbing is coming down. And you have just given all of your focus and your attention to reaching the peak. And having reached the peak, the adrenaline is high. Now there's danger in being careless. Wasn't this what happened to Elijah? You know, he had just had that great victory on Mount Carmel over 450 prophets of Baal. Truly, this had to be an exhausting day for him. But yet, great spiritual energy had been exhausted. But yet, when one woman, Jezebel, threatened him, he collapses into discouragement. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all of the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat out under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he laid and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and there by the head, by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is great, too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went into strength with that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." You see, what a time for the devil. You know, he is described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So what a time for the lion, the devil, to prance. How many men at midlife reach the pinnacle of success and then become unchallenged and bored? Now what? How many have said, "You know, I've given all I have all my life. Isn't it time for me to have a little fun?" You see, there is opportunity for Satan to drop the right bait at the right time. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." But another one of Satan's four favorite times to drop the bait is when you're tired. You know, here again, that played obviously a major part in Elijah's weakness. He was tired, he was sleepy, and he was hungry too. We read that a moment ago when we read verses 5 through 8, said that as he laid and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he laid down again. Fatigue easily can turn to cowardice. You know, no wonder the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Another one of Satan's favorite times is when we're alone. You know, Satan loves those moments when you're alone and no one else is around. You know, we think of Joseph, his being seduced by Potiphar's wife. In Genesis 39, verse 11, it says, none of the men of the house were inside. And then, too, there's King David, alone on his rooftop, when he could have been busy overseeing Israel in the battle that they were fighting. But there below him is the bait. Bathsheba is bathing. You know, such alone moments are times when Satan will whisper, you're all alone, no one will ever know. Maybe there's a young woman who is tired of the ongoing battles with her husband. She's lonely. She's starving for romance and intimacy. And the devil says, now. Drop the bait now. Another one of those favorite times that Satan has when he drops his bait is when we're waiting on God. You know, I don't think I can count all of the times the Bible says, wait on the Lord. And really, wasn't this Sarah's mistake? You know, she and Abraham had been promised a child. And yet, Sarah loses patience. And she presses Abraham to take Hagar and have a child by her. And of course, we all know the major problems that that brought to Abraham's house. For instance, take Genesis 21, verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman will not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and put it in on his shoulder. He gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. You know we ought to wait on God, but we get tired. We get impatient. We get hasty. And Satan says again, drop the bait now. You know, it's interesting to me to observe that our Lord experienced all four of these in the wilderness. He had just experienced a great moment of success. He had been baptized of John, and in that moment was when the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came and ascended in the form of the dove, and then there was that voice from heaven, the voice of the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And yet, at that great moment, he was also tired. For 40 long days, he was in the wilderness without food. And, too, he was alone. He was waiting on God to bring him through those days. And thus we read in Matthew 4 and verse 3, the tempter came to him. You see, don't be surprised if the devil uses these same moments with you, seeking to use the right bait at the right time. Jesus knew how Satan operated and knew how to overcome him. And truly, with the help of God and the word that he has given to us in the form of our New Testament, we can do the same. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, we are not ignorant of his devices. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.